Chapter 5, in which there are many riddles and few answers. To Jared's surprise, their mother agreed to let them go for a short walk. She blamed their constant squabbling on being cooped up inside, but with a single stern look at Jared, made all three promise to be back before dark. Mallory grabbed her fencing sword, Jared got his backpack and a new notebook, and Simon brought a butterfly net from the library. "What is that for?" Mallory asked as they crossed Duloc Drive, following the map. "To catch things," Simon said, without looking at her directly. "What kind of things? Don't you have enough animals?" Simon shrugged. "You bring home one new creature and I'm feeding it to Byron." "Hey," Jared said, interrupting them. "Which direction?" Simon studied the map, then pointed. Simon, Mallory, and Jared made their way up the steep hillside. Trees were sparse, their trunks growing on a slant between patches of grass and moss-covered boulders. For a long while, they just climbed, not really talking. Jared thought that this might be a nice place to bring his sketchbook sometime, but then he remembered he'd given up on drawing. Near the top of the hill, the land leveled out and the trees grew thicker. Simon turned around suddenly and started leading them back down the hill. "Where are we going?" Jared asked. Simon waved the map at him. "This is the way," he said. Mallory nodded as though she didn't think it was unusual that they were retracing their steps. "Are you sure?" Jared asked. "I don't think so." "I'm sure," Simon said. Right then, a summer breeze blew across the hill, and Jared thought he heard a chorus of laughter from beneath their feet. He stumbled and almost fell. "Did you hear that?" "What?" Simon asked, looking around nervously. Jared shrugged. He was sure he had heard something, but now there was only silence. A little bit down the path, Simon changed direction again. He started walking back up and to the right. Mallory followed amiably. "Where are we heading now?" Jared asked. They were going up again toward the top of the first hill, which was good, but they had been traveling at such an angle that Jared didn't think they could be anywhere close to the meeting spot on the map. "I know what I'm doing," said Simon. Mallory followed without question, which bothered Jared almost as much as the zigzag pattern Simon was taking. He wished he had the guide. He tried to go through the pages in his mind, looking for some explanation. He recalled something about people losing their way, even really close to home. Jared began to poke the grass he stepped on with his shoe. One tall weed scuttled to the side. "Stray sod!" He thought of the entry in the guide. Suddenly it made sense that only he had noticed they were going in the wrong direction. "Simon! Mallory! Turn your shirts inside out like mine!" "No," Simon said. "I know the way. Why do you always have to boss me around?" "It's a fairy trick," Jared yelled. "Forget it. You follow me for a change." "Just do it, Simon." "No! Didn't you hear me? No!" Jared tackled his brother, causing both of them to land on the grass. Jared tried to rip off his brother's sweater, but Simon was hugging his arms to his sides. "Stop it, both of you!" Mallory pushed them apart. Then, to Jared's surprise, she sat down on Simon and tugged off his sweater. He immediately noticed that she'd already turned her own inside out. A strange expression came over Simon's face as his inside-out sweater was shoved back over his head. "Wow, where are we?" A peal of laughter rang out from above their heads.
"Most don't make it this far, or this near, depending," said a creature perched in the tree.
It had the body of a monkey, with short blackish-brown speckled fur and a long tail that curled around the branch on which it sat. A thick ruff of fur surrounded its neck, but its face was rabbity, with long ears and whiskers. "Depending on what?" Jared asked. He wasn't sure if he should be amused or afraid. Suddenly, the creature swung his head upside down so that its ears brushed its belly and its chin pointed towards the sky.
"Clever is as clever does."
Jared jumped. Mallory swung her rapier out in front of her.
"Stay where you are."
"Goodness,
a beast with a sword," it hissed.
Swinging its head right ways round again, it blinked twice.
"I wonder if it's mad. Swords haven't been the fashion for ages."
"We're not beasts," said Jared defensively.
What are you, then?
Asked the creature. I'm a boy, said Jared, and, well, that's my sister, a girl.
That's no girl, it said. Where's her dress?
Dresses haven't been the fashion for ages, Mallory said with a smirk. We answered your questions, Jared said. Now answer ours. What are you?
The black dog of the night,
declared the creature proudly, before its head spun around once more, peering at them with one eye open.
An ass, or perhaps merely a sprite.
What does that mean? Demanded Mallory. It's just stupid. I think it's a puka, said Jared. Yes, I remember now. They're shapeshifters.
Are they dangerous? Asked Simon.
Very,
said the puka, nodding vigorously. I'm not sure, Jared said under his breath. Then, clearing his throat, he addressed the creature. We were looking for some trace of our great uncle.
You've lost your uncle. How careless.
Jared sighed and tried to decide if the puka was as crazy as it seemed. Well, he's been gone a long time, actually. Close to 70 years. We're just hoping to find out what happened to him.
Anyone can live that long. All they have to do is keep from dying. But I understand that humans live much longer in captivity than they do in the wild.
What? Jared asked.
When looking for something, said the puka, one ought to be sure one wants to find it.
Oh, never mind, Mallory said. Let's just keep going. Let's at least ask it what's in the valley up ahead, said Simon. Mallory rolled her eyes. Oh, yeah, like it's going to start making sense. Simon ignored her. Can you please tell us what's up ahead? We were following this map until we got turned around by the moving grass.
If grass can move, said the puka, then a boy could find himself rooted in place.
Please, please, just stop encouraging it, said Mallory.
Elves, said the puka, eyeing Mallory as though affronted.
Shall I be direct when I direct you into the direct path of the elves?
What do they want? Asked Jared.
They have what you want, and they want what you have, said the puka.
Mallory groaned audibly. We said we'd turn back when things got weird. Mallory pointed to the puka with her rapier, and that thing is about as weird as it gets. But not bad. Jared looked toward the hills. Let's go on a little farther. I don't know, Mallory said. What about those grass things and us getting lost? The puka said that the elves have what we want. Simon nodded. We're really close, Mal. Mallory sighed. I don't like this, but I'd rather we were the ones sneaking up on them. They started walking down the hill away from the road.
Wait, come back, called the puka. There is something I must tell you.
They turned back. What is it? Jared asked.
Bonnie, nonny, bonnie,
said the puka with precision. Is that what you wanted to tell us?
No, not at all, said the puka.
Well, what then? Jared demanded.
What an author doesn't know could fill a book, said the puka.
With that, his body towed its way up the tree until it was gone. The three children made their way slowly down the other side of the hill. As the trees thickened once more, they noticed how quiet the woods had become. No birds sang in the trees. There seemed to be only the rustle of grass and the snap of twigs under their feet. They stopped in a meadow ringed by trees. At the center, a single tall thorn tree stood, surrounded by fat, white and red toadstools.
Jared said.
Right. Weird. Let's get out of here, Mallory said. But as they turned, the trees wove together, branches entwining with other branches, lacing into a fence of foliage that reached down to the earthen floor of the glade.
Oh, crap, said Mallory.